Okay. So we're gonna talk about what exactly does the Holy Spirit do for the Christian, part 11, be the last. I know it's yeah, it doesn't work. The last study, so Brandon's gonna go on through Exodus next week. Start just deal through Exodus next week. This is number 7. He provides us with power to impact others in a supernatural way. And we talked about in the last few weeks and stuff about overcoming sin and stuff like that, and we'll kind of recap everything as we go on here. But in John 16, let's turn over there. John 16. So I want to read verse 7 through 11, please.
But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. He will concerning sin and righteousness and judgment, concerning sin because they do not believe in me, your righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you no longer see me. And concerning judgment, because the rule of this world, the ruler of this world, has been judged.
Okay. So the Holy Spirit, we talked about this last week, but He convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And so, if we're looking at how the Holy Spirit helps us impact others. He convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So I'll read verse 5 through 8, please. Okay, so when Paul and Apollos here is to use an example, when they're the ones who are planting and ones who are watering, they have an important part. I mean, God gives us opportunity. God gives us the opportunity to preach, and we have to do our part. But He is the one who causes the increase. The Holy Spirit, or the Lord of the Spirit, will be the one who brings about the increase, in those who are being preached to. Now let's turn over to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. So I want to read verse 14 through 15 of Romans chapter 10, please. Okay, so we have our part to play in this, like we made point before, but it's the Holy Spirit that allows us to impact others in that way, a supernatural way. He convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. We may be the mouthpiece, we may be the ones who are preaching, but He's the one who convicts. You know, anybody could say words, and people can, you know, not be convicted or believe in the words, but the words which we say, the Holy Spirit is who brings about the conviction, and of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And so He allows us in that way, makes us able in that way to impact others when we are going about preaching the gospel we have our part, but he also does his part as well, and it brings about the true increase. Now let's turn over to Romans chapter 5, talking about impacting others in a supernatural way again here. And again, obviously, all of the impacting that we have is going for the opportunity of those to become his children, to preach the gospel. So verse 5 of Romans chapter 5, please. Okay, so God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Okay, so the Holy Spirit is the one who, again, on the basis of him giving us the power to impact others in a supernatural way. Now let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Okay, so that Holy Spirit, that love of God is poured out through the Holy Spirit in us. 1 Corinthians 13. Someone read verse 4 through 8, please.
Love is patient, love is kind, and is not jealous, but does not brag, is not arrogant, but does not act unbecomingly, it does not seek its own, it is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in right unrighteousness, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and fears all things. How far
is it? Verse 8.
Huh?
Verse 8 is the first part.
Love never fails, but there are gifts of prophecy that will be done away with.
Okay, so love is all those things, and as we when you have the love of God poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit, this is the only way we can truly have the love that is talked about here. Rejoices in the truth, doesn't rejoice in unrighteousness, you know, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things. Yeah, there is love that people have for each other, that for their spouse or for their children or for their family or for their good friends or whatever it is. And that doesn't mean that they can't have love, but to have the love of God is what it's talking about here. That's patient, it's not jealous, and so on. And people maybe have some of those characteristics within their love, but the love that we have from God, when we interact with people, we act differently towards people because we have the love of God poured out within us. And so we have the ability to impact others in that way in which the world won't to the way that we can, because we have the love of God in us. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 4. And you're on 1 Corinthians is talking about, and so is 1 John talking about the love of the brethren here. But still we have that love. Again, we can't have the love of the brethren that's not from God. And because all love is from God here. And when we might be able to have a deep caring for a lot of people, and so, and the world will call it love, but it's not a true love. So turn to 1 John chapter 4, 7 through 12, please.
The love of us, love one another, the love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this love of God is manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, so that we might.
And so we see here the love in verse 7 is from God. Okay, so again, people might be able to have a love for people of the world if they're not into Christians. They might be able to have a little bit some love. I'll go that far, but true love is from God, and the one who is from God loves And this, again, this is talking about brethren, but it's still our relationship to people as well. And then in verse 12, he says, no one has beheld God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. So his love is perfected in us to have an impact on others in a supernatural way, where prior to that, it was missing. Prior to the Holy Spirit being poured out in the individual Christian was missing. That love for each other was and for people was missing. So we can impact others through the love of God poured out through the Holy Spirit. And then turn over to Ephesians chapter 3. And when we're going through the book of Ephesians, these are the verses that turned us on to this study of the Holy Spirit here. What exactly does the Holy Spirit do for the Christian? But in Ephesians 3, verse 16, 19, and 20, please.
Now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly and beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us.
Okay, so we have the power to impact others because the Holy Spirit strengthens us with power, because we can know the love of Christ, which passes all knowledge, and be filled up to all the fullness of God. So that's, again, that's kind of pointing a little bit back to the love there. But we can do exceedingly abundantly beyond all we ask or think through that power, through the Holy Spirit. And so when the impossible things that seem impossible, and especially in a spiritual sense, God's going to accomplish. Now, that does carry over physically a little bit, I do believe, in that we can get through some physical things because of the spiritual victories that we're having. And we'll get to that in just a second, but it's important to make mention here. This is strengthened in the inner man. Okay, and so it's not that we're going to be able to accomplish, and we'll get to some verses in a second talking about that. But physical things because of the power of the Spirit, but it's because of the ability that the Spirit gives the inner man that we're going to do physical things, such as being able to preach the gospel in certain ways and be able to go like that. Because of that given to us. But start keeping with the spiritual things for a second here. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 35 through 39. Someone want to read, please. Okay, so talking on the spiritual sense here, you know, that the things that we can be victorious and overcome spiritually, even though there's physical persecutions or distresses or whatever it is, we're going to be overwhelmingly conquerors. We can overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. Okay, so, and we can overcome any spiritual thing, and that's important to understand with the help of the Spirit. He can impact others. And so therefore, if we overcome every spiritual thing, we're going to be able to impact others through that as well, because we're going to be able to help others because we have overcome through the Spirit, be able to help them overcome through the Spirit as well. But in a physical side, let's just touch on that for a second. Turn over to Mark chapter 14. And as far as God accomplishing everything, and how that relates to us, even though the Spirit does strengthen the inner man, and it is not something that gives us the ability to to overcome in a physical strength only, and just to overcome physically, but because we can overcome spiritually is where that's going to carry over to. But in verse 36 of Mark 14, someone want to read that, please. Okay, so it's possible for God to do anything physically. But as Jesus says here when he's in the garden, yeah, it's possible, but yet not what I will, but what you will. Okay, and so that's the mindset we need to have. And then because of Jesus still was able to overcome physically these things. I mean, it looks like, you know, well, God didn't deliver him from this death, but he did deliver him from the death because he was able to spiritually be strengthened and go through the physical persecution and overcome it physically. Overcoming doesn't necessarily mean not having to go through it. Okay, and so Jesus, you know, God is very possible and able to not allow us to have to go through anything or deliver us from anything physically, but it still wasn't his will, and that's what Jesus is saying there. It is possible, and then so then by that, we can overcome on a spiritual thinking. You know, the flesh would say, well, he's overcoming the death would be not going through it. But the spiritual is overcoming the death by getting through it and being successful in doing that. And so we can overcome physically because we overcome spiritually. And so an overcoming physically from a spiritual perspective is different than overcoming physically from a physical perspective. You know, we might not overcome it physically, but we're going to overcome it physically because a spiritual perspective is different, and we can have eternal life or be successful in the death as Jesus was here. You know, so I think that's the mindset that we need to have. Batteries must be going again. There you go. Now I'm back. Did they just lose it? Do you notice it? There, maybe those last for a little while there. Okay, so we can overcome physically because we overcome spiritually, like Jesus there in Mark 14. He didn't overcome physically from a physical perspective, but he overcame spiritually through a spiritual perspective. Because and just like that's a physical picture of a spiritual perspective that for the church now, just like a lot of old things in the Old Testament. You know, it's the temple, the priesthood, and so on. We've talked about all that. But that there with in the furnace, that would obviously spiritually represent, it's a physical picture of a spiritual fire, okay, for the Christian. But Jesus was in that furnace with them. Jesus, the Holy Spirit of Jesus, also through the spiritual fire with us. And so that's that physical picture that draws over to the perspective that the Christian goes through today. I think it's important, like you say, to understand that.
So what you're saying is that whatever you're going to physically might not ever go away.
Right. Right. Even though you might not physically overcome an illness or a trial or whatever it is, we're spiritually going to overcome. Like Jesus didn't physically overcome the death and not having to go through it. But he overcame the death because he was successful in going through it.
And so, you're still going to be there. You're still going to have the victory.
Right.
I mean, for your spiritual life, you're still going to have the victories.
Right.
Because we don't suffer alone with these witnesses.
Right. And so by that, then, we're going to have be able to impact others because of that. You know, Jesus impacted others because of the being strengthened by the Spirit to be able to impact others. He was able to go through what he went through, and we're able to do that as well, to impact others in that way. So now let's turn over to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. So I want to read verse 27 through 29.
What is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory? Admonishing every man and teaching every man wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. For this purpose also I labor, striving according to his power, which mightily works within me.
So the Holy Spirit makes us complete. Okay, it doesn't just the forgiveness of sins isn't just what makes us complete. The Holy Spirit makes us complete because obviously a lot of stuff that we've talked about and how He helps us, what exactly He does for us. But because we're complete, then we're going to be able to impact others to be complete as well. And so that's what Paul is doing. He's able to present every man complete in Christ. And for this purpose, I also strive according to the power which mightily worked within me. So it was the power that worked within Paul, the Holy Spirit, which is able to help him impact others to present them complete in Christ as well, which is to have the Holy Spirit in them and to be able to develop the character according to Christ. And so on that note, turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians 2. So I want to read verse 14 through 16.
Thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Him in every place. For we are a fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one, an aroma from death and to the other an aroma from life to life. And who is adequate for these things? For we are not like many peddling the word of God, but as for sincerity, but as from God, we speak in Christ in the sight of God.
Okay, so God, who always leads us, it talks about in verse 14 there, in His triumph in Christ, there's a sweet aroma, manifests through us a sweet aroma, so it's through the Christian again there, a fragrance from Christ to those who are being saved and to those who are perishing. So it's a fragrance, the Holy Spirit is that again, along that power to impact others, there's that fragrance there, obviously a spiritual or a fragrance there, to the one, an aroma from death to death, and the other are from life to life. And so to those who are perishing, it's from death to death, because the Word of God, there's nobody in between, and we've hit that a lot. There's nobody in between, so the Word of God, to those who are perishing, it's foolishness, as he wrote in the first book of Corinthians. So to them, it's nothing, and so it makes them more prone to follow the path of death. They're not going to come over to righteousness because they don't believe in the words of Christ. But to those who are being saved, those to life, because those who respond to the gospel, to the words of Christ, are going to be saved because of that aroma through the Spirit that is given off. People recognize that. People will recognize, they should recognize anyway, the unseen aroma through Christ or through the Spirit because of how we are, how we act, because that love of God is poured out in us, as we mentioned before, because He strengthened us to go through anything and be able to overcome, so that when we are preaching the word, then the Holy Spirit is going to convict that person, you know, whether to make them turn away from the gospel or to actually, so they are convicted and be obedient. And so that's where that aroma that is, people are going to see that. And there's a lot of people that don't see false teachers. And again, that's to their own destruction. But in a lot of cases, when you have, I shouldn't say a lot of cases, but there were, for example, in Acts 8, and you had Philip and you had Simon the sorcerer. And people saw Simon the sorcerer a lot, and they said he was some wondrous guy, you know, with great wonders. But when Philip began preaching things about the kingdom of God, they started believing because they saw a distinction between Philip and Simon. Okay, and so that's the same thing with us today. There's a distinction. Those who are searching for the truth are going to see the distinction, and then they're going to be obedient. And that's our job. And the Holy Spirit will do His job to convict them. So it's our job there to be honest where Philip would have been preaching honest truth, and Simon probably would have been in his magical arts. You know, it was a lot more deceiving. It would, you know, they could tell something was different. And so that's what I think that we're talking here about is that fragrance is different between us, those who are being saved. They're going to recognize that and be obedient to what the words of God says, and those who are not are going to follow the false teacher still. So in the last one today, turn to John chapter 14. John 14. Verse 12 of John 14. Okay, so Jesus is saying there that we will do greater works than He did. And the reason He's given there is because He goes to the Father. Now, a question is, why is that then? Let's turn over just back. I know we read it earlier. John 16, verse 7. Someone want to read that, verse 7, please. Okay, so when Jesus says, because I go to the Father, okay, so when He goes to the Father, it's your advantage that I go away, because the Helper will not come unless I go away. So when I go to the Father, that is when you're going to be able to do greater works than these works that I do. The works that I do, He shall do also, and greater works than these, because I go to the Father, because He ascends to heaven. And the Holy Spirit, or the Helper, is going to return to help the Christian accomplish that. Now back to chapter 14, verse 16 and 17, please. Yeah. Yes, please. Okay, so the Holy Spirit, Jesus was limited in the flesh of where He could be, who He could be with. But when He goes to the Father, it's to their advantage that He goes away, because the Helper will return. And we're going to do greater works, the works that He did, but greater works than He did, because He goes to the Father, because the Helper is going to be able to return, or He was able to return, and indwell every Christian then. So that's where we can do greater works, because we can go out and do the things that Jesus was limited in doing, because the new covenant hadn't come yet, and forgiveness of sin hadn't come yet, and the indwelling Holy Spirit hadn't come yet. And so that's where we're going to be able to do greater works than Jesus, not physically as in healing and people and stuff like that, or creating or putting us better, but him through us is going to be able to accomplish that. So we can spiritually impact others through him because he goes to the Father, because the Spirit was promised when he went to the Father, was going to return and not leave him as orphans. So we're going to be able to impact others through that. And so kind of a conclusion of the study, you know, through whether it's through prayer or comfort that he helps us, whether it's through overcoming sin or impacting others or whatever it is that we're going to be able to do, the Holy Spirit is a vital part of the Christian life. It's not just something that, well, we have the Holy Spirit and he doesn't really do anything. It's very vital, important to the Christian life, developing the character of Christ, to developing into the new creature that God intended for us to be, and so that we can not only go to heaven as well, but we can impact the world for that as well. So it's important. Holy Spirit's not just a little glimpse of something that might help a little bit with prayer. He's very important in helping us through our Christian walk. Anybody have any comments on today or the study, the whole study? Verse 26, yeah.
Verse 26. Yeah. So, I mean, that's something that he'll do when we're trying to think of things or when we need to say things. I think mm-hmm. he'll help us recall words that we've learned.
Right. And it's not just here. I mean, 2 Corinthians 2 talks about that, you know, is,
yeah,
you know, that.
And that really. Yeah. Romans chapter 8 kind of does that. But this, I think it's mm-hmm. important.
Right. I love your look on your face, Troy. You're just like, yeah, that's right. You know, you didn't even. Go ahead.
I was going to say, yeah, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. He fortifies us. And I don't know what it is. And his name's a high tower. Our belief in him strengthens us to move through this fallen world and be ambassadors. And representatives and good examples.
Mm-hmm. Do you have something, Kyle? Oh, yeah. Anybody else have any comments? And okay, we'll stop there today and end that study, and Sabrina will pick up next week in the class.